everyone. Welcome to the Holistic Birth Podcast, where we put the power in families' hands to have the safe, satisfying journey they deserve. My name is Allison.
And I'm Bridget. We are two doulas who love bringing information along with inspiration to help you feel confident and powerful in your choices throughout the birthing year.
We cover all topics around pregnancy, birth, and beyond. We're so glad you're here.
Let's dive into this week's episode.
Welcome back to the Holistic Birth Podcast. This is episode 7, and we're going to talk about undisturbed birth. We'll explain what it is, why you may want to consider it. And I think, we'll just get started immediately. Bridget, what is undisturbed birth?
Yeah, so undisturbed birth is, you know, it's pretty just that, honestly, is undisturbed. But what that can mean is really giving you the opportunity to have a physiological birth. So where you are completely undisturbed, you have set your environment, so you are in a place of feeling very safe. So the hormones of labor can really do their thing and your body can do what it's designed to do. So, yeah, Allison, can you tell us about the hormones of labor?
Sure.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. So the big one we always think about when we're thinking about labor is oxytocin. Oxytocin is also called the love hormone. It's released during like bonding times and like during breastfeeding, intimacy. It's kind of the main hormone we think about when considering uterine contractions. There's also estrogen, which does increase later in your pregnancy to help make your uterus more sensitive to oxytocin. There's prostaglandins. Prostaglandins are that hormone that helps to ripen your cervix, like your fruit. So it helps to soften the cervix and allows it to open. There's also relaxin, which does exactly that. It's all your ligaments and muscles will loosen and relax in preparation of labor. A lot of clients, one especially last week, just asked, like, how is it possible my body will make any more room for this baby? And I said, relaxin will be on your side. Don't worry. There's also melatonin. That's another hormone to think about. Melatonin and oxytocin do work together synergistically. That's why our labor usually starts at night, or it will ramp up at night. Sometimes it'll kind of quiet during the day and then kind of, charge ahead at night. But our natural instinct is that we do want it to be dark and quiet and safe to give birth, which is a huge part of undisturbed birth.
Yes.
There are also beta endorphins. Those hormones usually create these sensations of pleasure, euphoria, and dependency. It does make a really great pain reliever. And also baby helps to secrete that, when you're like, it's found in breast milk. So it's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Part of that journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then one of the big ones is catecholamines, which is also like a form of adrenaline. There's definitely a fine balance between all the hormones, but, catecholamines do help with, that right before baby is born, they peak so that there's a little bit more of that promotion of the fetal ejection reflex, which usually only happens when birth is undisturbed. What is the fetal ejection reflex, Bridget?
This is so cool to me. Like, I always tell my clients about it and they're like, whoa, what is the fetal ejection reflex? So it's really amazing to witness. If you look up, like, I mean, it does happen in hospitals too, but it is in a lot of like home birth, birth center videos, that sort of thing. And basically the baby just kind of shoots out, but what's actually happening is the uterus is
working. I got a really crazy visual.
I know,
with
it's
that.
Like, you know, flying out. It doesn't happen exactly like that, but they do come out pretty quickly.
Yes.
So the uterus is working really hard because it's a muscle, and all those hormones that Allison was just talking about really work together, especially the catecholamines, because that's adrenaline, and that's usually at the point where someone that's in labor will be like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. And that's like at that point where they're kind of, you know, freaking out a little bit and everything seems very intense and overwhelming. That's when that hormone is really, you know, peaking at that point. And the uterus is actually pushing from the top and it's doing all the work essentially for you. Your body's amazing. It knows exactly what to do. Your uterus will basically push down on the baby and will basically just push the baby out for you. And a lot of women will say they don't even have to push, like the uterus is just doing all the work and their body's doing all the work, and the baby just comes out without them actually needing any coach pushing and that sort of thing. So this really the fetal rejection reflex really does happen mostly with undisturbed birth, just because, again, those hormones are all working together and the uterus can do what it does.
And oxytocin is definitely something that we want to help promote throughout all of labor. It will help obviously with making progress, with stronger surges, and will kind of help peak your like intuitive parts of your body and your birthing experience. And really, oxytocin is released when you're in a safe private and supported environment. So the best ways to kind of promote that undisturbed birth and to help oxytocin flow are to really tune in on the environment. I mean, if you think about a mammal in the wild, they don't just decide to give birth wherever they will please. They usually choose someplace that is safe and they know they can labor and birth their baby, safely. If for some reason there is a threat or something like that, their fight or flight kicks in, their stress response kicks in, they cannot proceed. Their labor literally will pause in order to kind of wait for that safe place to be again. So we're kind of the same with if there are a lot of stimuli or unsafe people around us or anything like that, it can reduce how our progress is going to be overall. I've had clients that weirdly kind of like will have like a pause in their labor during when certain people are in the room. Like, I've been at a home birth before where like they totally didn't love that their grandfather was staying in the doorway, just kind of like, how you doing, honey, you know, obviously meaning well, but they're kind of like, oh good, and then like things kind of paused for a little while. They had longer breaks in between surges, and then once he had, okay, I'm just gonna go make you something to eat, they then resumed maybe an hour later. But even in a hospital setting, I've seen people where they really loved their nurse, really, really loved them, and then they left because of change of shift. And that relationship wasn't yet established with the new nurse, and it kind of, that change of shift actually paused their labor. But really, anything you can do to avoid inhibitors of oxytocin are the goal. So avoid bright, unnatural lighting, fluorescent lights, kick them off. If you're able to have like LED tea lights or any candles, if you're in like an environment that does allow open flame, then that can be really helpful. Obviously, high or excessive noise levels can influence how you're feeling. There's definitely something to be said about like music you've chosen. Like, you might want like spa music or massage music. I've also had clients totally rock it out to like Disturbed, that band, you know.
Oh my gosh, I've had people do that. I've seen them in concert.
Oh nice, nice. I had someone who was listening to Disturbed,
down
like
with the sickness.
Yeah she like was pumping herself up, and
that's funny.
But yeah, I'll probably end up talking about her another time, because that was such an awesome birth.
Sounds like it.
Me too. That is pretty cool. But like, whatever noises are soothing to you, like that obviously could be Disturbed or whatever, you know, music you like. Country weirdly is not something I see a lot in, which I like country, but I think it depends on if you're just like going bro country or you want like acoustic or whatever. But
did you say bro country?
Yeah,
I've never heard that.
That's
term.
Like the thinking Blake Shelton's and Jason Aldean's, like, okay, some good music, but it's like this, like, and my girl's in the truck, and
yeah, oh,
and I
right.
got me
gotcha.
A beer. It's like. It's bro country.
I love that. That's so funny. I've never heard it called that.
I did not make that up. I actually wrote a paper on why bro country is like putting like a downfall to country music. I wrote a paper literally in college.
Oh my
that.
Gosh, that's hilarious. Bro oh country. My God. I love it. Anyway. Yeah.
Anyway, but like, it does depend. The music that you play does matter. But if there are beeps or noises or extra conversation or anything that sounds very disruptive, or it's not rhythmic or doesn't kind of fall into like white noise, then that also can be inhibiting oxytocin.
Yeah, for sure.
And also anything that really gives you the sense that you're being watched, but like not by like helpful people. Like if it's like observers in the room, for some people that really impacts greatly how safe they're feeling. I was just at a birth maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and there was a, you know, very well-meaning paramedic who had stepped into the room, and he was just standing like in the doorway, just kind of like, I don't know if it was part of a rotation for him or a training or something. But I remember like looking and being like, yeah, that seems out of, it was just out of order, out of the norm. And so I kind of looked to my client and I was like, are you okay with observers? And she's like, I don't care. So she didn't care. But for some people, that could be very distracting. That could be super distracting, especially if someone didn't first say, are you okay with it? And also you can change your mind. If you did say, yeah, that's fine, I don't care, and then it was actually a distraction, you can kick them out. They don't need to be in there. But it's anyone who doesn't make you feel safe also is part of that. So making sure that you feel really, really connected and heard and supported by the people around you is going to help. If you're feeling threatened by someone, or if there's someone that's distracting you in a not helpful way, or is kind of like you can feel the pressure or some sort of presence or tension or something from them about their opinions, or if it's like someone who means well but is just like, well, at my birth I just did, like, that's not helpful. It's okay to ask for space from those people, especially if you feel like maybe your labor is being impacted by those things. Definitely keep all of that in mind with thinking about oxytocin inhibitors.
Yes, definitely.
Do you feel, as like a doula, do you feel like you see any impact being in a hospital setting, or are there certain settings that like it's impossible to have a undisturbed birth at?
I feel like you can have an undisturbed birth anywhere. It really just depends on who you have as like your birth team. Having the right support is really important. You can absolutely advocate for yourself no matter where you are, but if you're wanting to really essentially be very undisturbed, you can set up your birth team where they're like, you know, they make sure that you're getting your birth wishes met. Mm-hmm. I do absolutely believe that it can happen anywhere, because a lot of people, I get that question a lot, like, oh, can I really have an undisturbed birth if I'm in the hospital? And I say, absolutely, you know, you can definitely do that. We just have to set the environment for you and make sure the staff knows what your wants and desires are, and we can make that happen. It's really just about, you know, feeling the safest you possibly can, as you've mentioned before. So
Totally agree.
Definitely.
So are there some examples of things you could implement in a hospital setting, that just like maybe an example or two that would help with promoting undisturbed birth?
Are you mean like environmental kind of stuff, or having, you know, requesting minimal staff in the room, like only having them come in, you know, when they need to like check, you know, heart rates or something like that every hour. Even at that point, if you don't even want that, just having minimal people come in at all, you can definitely do that. And just, you know, have, again, your staff just alert somebody if there may be something that doesn't feel right or whatever. Shutting off all the lights, having, you know, smell that you enjoy, like you mentioned, like music is a big one, or if you want it completely quiet, you can have, you know, LED candles or real candles if you're at home. Just really setting that environment to be as dark and quiet as possible is really going to help with being undisturbed.
I think that's a big job that we kind of take on as a doula, is to make sure that certain environmental like elements are in place, or certain things aren't in place. I feel like we usually come with some sort of Mary Poppins bag of like,
yes,
it's just a pit of, I don't even know what's in there anymore because so much is in there. I can pull out a lamp and I would not be surprised. I think like it's okay to turn to your doula and your partner if you don't have a doula, or just to rely on both of them to kind of like help with promoting that safe environment of what feels good to you. I feel like I've just walked into a room as a doula when it's like I'm first arriving. I just assess like how are things going. I jump in if needed, but I kind of tend to like kind of flutter around like as like a little wallflower for like when I first arrive at a birth. And usually if things aren't already set, then then I don't have to do too much. But usually I kind of come in and start dimming lights, if especially if people have told me that that's helpful. And it's not that you aren't capable of making that decision or doing it yourself in labor. It's like really nice to just not expend the energy.
Yeah, even think about it.
To be in charge of it. Yeah. Right. And so to tell your partner, to tell your doula, like, I really, these are the clear intentions I have for what makes me feel best with like an environment. Everyone feels safe with different things. So like just communicating that to your people too.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. And just, you know, yeah, again, communicating. And if you want your doula or your partner to be literally your voice and saying like, you know, I don't want this, I do want that or whatever. So you don't have to respond to anything. You can just be in your labor land and be undisturbed. Then you can do that. You just have to, you know, voice that that's what you need, is for mm-hmm. them to essentially just talk for you and, you know, that sort of thing. So, yeah.
For sure. Cool.
Yeah. So I guess my question is, if something does disturb, you know, one of your clients, during labor, do you have like, techniques or anything that you recommend doing to like get them back into a rhythm of being undisturbed? Like you mm-hmm. mentioned, you know, like even if it's like a car ride to the hospital or, you know, anything like that where, you know, medical staff comes in that they're not crazy about or something like that, and they just kind of want to get back in that rhythm and their labor's paused or something. Do you have like techniques that you really recommend that they try? Because I feel like a lot of people worry like, oh no, I got disturbed and now I'm, you know, not going to be able to get back into the rhythm. Mm-hmm. So I think it might be helpful to say that it's possible or if it's not.
Yeah. It's like you really are trying to focus, but not in a, like a logical way. You're just kind of like in the zone. And so then I think it's usually pretty obvious to people when they feel like, I don't think I'm in the zone anymore, or I think I've sort of stepped out. And it can feel a little frantic at first because it's almost like a fish out of water. Like you were swimming, you were in your groove, and then all of a sudden you're kind of like pulled out of what you were doing. But it's definitely very possible to find your rhythm again, and to kind of sink back into that more like undisturbed, like peaceful kind of space. I guess the first things that come to mind are if there's anything environmental that shifted, like say someone came in, your midwife came in, you're like napping on bed or something, and she like flips on a little light to check in on you or something. Just let's just turn that back off, and she can chat with you in the dark if you want to. Just little things about the environment that had shifted, how can we reset those? If it's something that's more like a deeper level than that, it's not just like the environment shifted, it's like something like a really deep conversation was had to be had, or whatever it was a little bit more disruptive to you. I definitely recommend thinking about Penny Simpkins' 3 R's, rhythm, relaxation, and ritual. So whatever rhythms you were in before, sometimes they might not work the same for you immediately, but falling back into things that are going to be really the best for what the situation you're in at that point is. So rhythm is thinking about start moving, start swaying, start rocking, start going in circles, sit on the birth ball, get in the tub, find some sort of thing that you're doing with your body that's in your control, that you're able to kind of tune back into, that becomes this like routine rhythmic thing. Any sort of movement, so rhythm. Relaxation would be adding in like massage or changing the music. The tub, like hydrotherapy, could be really helpful. It could be listening to affirmations or a guided meditation. It could be asking your doula to kind of like walk you through some sort of like ritual or specific like meditation or something. I know I a lot of times will use like the body scan for my clients. So say like a big like shift had happened in the room and the energy is kind of off and everyone's kind of left, and now we've reclaimed like, okay, the room's ours again, to like, let's just reset. Sometimes I encourage her to, all right, start at your toes, you know, wiggle those, let them kind of loosen, pay attention to like the sensations, then go to your ankles. What are you feeling there? And then just basically I verbally just help them climb up their body with just kind of reacclimating yourself to what your body is doing or feeling or what you're noticing. And as we're going, I encourage them to like, okay, now that you've passed your toes, let them relax. Okay, now that you're back to your knee, like usually we have tension that we're holding on to these disruptions happen. Mm-hmm. And so anything like with the movement, like with relaxation or that body scan to be able to release again and to sink back into whatever rhythm or undisturbed place that you were in, those can be really helpful. And then the ritual really is just kind of the repetitive motion of all of it together.
Yeah,
you know?
Yep.
So just finding whether it's you know, you've like relit the candles or you've kind of like had some time with your partner or your doula to kind of reset, or even simply just going into the bathroom by yourself.
Yeah.
Shut that door, sit on the toilet, hashtag dilation station, and just sink into that room and just kind of like sensations wise, like unplug.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. So I guess
those would be the first things that come to mind for some tips.
Yeah, speaking of the bathroom, I've heard of like so many women, if like with home birth and stuff like that, sometimes they'll just lock themselves in the bathroom with the lights off and have their baby in the bathroom by themselves. Well, they don't lock themselves in there, but you know, they'll close the door or even their bedroom. They'll just go in their bedroom and just sit in the dark and have their babies in there or whatever. Yeah. So yeah, there's a lot to be said about like, you know, just even isolating yourself if you need to.
And some people are very like they're just very independent. There's a home birth that I can think of that we were all just hanging out in the rest of her house and she was off doing whatever she was doing in labor. Like no one really knew because we were all in there to check on her, refill her water, and then give her space again. And that's exactly what she wanted. She called on us when she needed us. She would come back out. It was almost like this deer was like a lion was emerging from like the back of the house and we would kind of just like get quiet and not stare at her or make her feel like weird or anything, but just kind of like be like holding space. She'd come out to like get a snack or something. But I've also seen people who really like touch or like the presence and the safety of their partner or their doula. So if that's also part of it, they don't have to say anything. They don't even have to touch you if you are overwhelmed like that. But if they are a safe person to you, them just being present. I've crocheted at births before or read my book. It doesn't even have to be that I'm actively doing anything, but it's like that calming presence of someone that you know, like they care about you and that they're there to just hold space. Like sometimes that can be really important too. Just sounds so simple, but
I could definitely go either way. Whereas, you know, someone may just want to be left alone or they may really need that support surrounding them so they can feel safe. So go either way.
But especially if you're worried about certain scenarios, feel free to reach out. You know, we're always available by email, put a comment on Instagram, comment on YouTube, whatever it is. We're always here and happy to help answer questions about any scenarios or if you have anything else that you that comes up for you with this topic. But yeah, thank you for listening. Thanks for tuning in this time around.
Thank you.
Hope to see you next week, and we hope you have a good rest of your day or night wherever you are.
Yeah, sounds good. Bye, everybody.
Bye. That's it for this topic. Thanks for tuning in. Check out the show notes for any resources or links that we mentioned today. Make sure to subscribe and follow us on your preferred podcast platform, and also be sure to give us a review.
It really helps us grow and reach more people who could benefit from this info. Also, check us out on YouTube and visit our blog where we have this podcast transcribed for you.
We'd love to connect over social media too, and we're just an email away if you have any questions or if you want to request a topic to be covered.
We hope this helps your mind, body, and soul in having the supported and holistic journey you are so deserving of. Embrace the power within you.